Sin, if we take a look at sin, it is based on two factors. Two factors. How can we understand this? That every sin which is committed, it is due to two reasons, two factors. One is, or it leads to two consequences as well. One is Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, and secondly, Allah Ta'ala's wrath. This is the, you can say, end point of sin, the consequence of sin. And there is no need to differentiate what type of sin, which sin, whichever sin is committed, if it is a sin, it will lead to these two things. Allah Ta'ala's displeasure will result, and Allah Ta'ala's ghadab, Allah Ta'ala's wrath, punishment will also result. So if we think now, Allahu Akbar, that to save ourselves from sin, or if we don't save ourselves from sin and we don't have worry about sin, we continue to sin, then there will be two things: that Allah Ta'ala will be displeased with us, Allah Ta'ala's ghadab will come onto us, or to the person who's sinning. Then what peace will there be in the person's life? What happiness will there be in that person's life? How can that person be living a nice way? Will Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy come to him? Will Allah Ta'ala's fadl come to him? Will Allah Ta'ala's blessings come to him? How can he expect these things? This is foolishness. That person puts his hand in the fire and says, my hands will not burn. Or my clothes, I put them in the fire and say that the clothes will not burn. How can this be? How can this be? So brothers, life, our life, to keep ourselves happy here and to improve our hereafter, the important thing for us to do is not to displease Allah, is to save ourselves from the sins. To save ourselves from the sins, and save ourselves extremely so. And there's no excuse, there's no reason that we can put forward that I have to do the sin, or I'm afraid of people in the world, or by chance I did it, I didn't know. If you're committing the sin, then these are the two results, consequences. And the rest is deception, any sort of wool over the eyes or reason we try to put forward, no, will not be acceptable. So sin, the action of sin, so-called small sin, same result. Big sin, same result. What we call saghira sin, small sin, and kabira, big sin, same thing, same consequence. What's the difference between the two? Because both are sins. Saghira and kabira, the two types of sin, small and big. Now saghira sin is such that you can easily, you can say, dust it off that your back. Allah Ta'ala has given us that capability. We can, you know, if for example you're practicing something, you're doing something, you're implementing an action, and for example, if we take the example, you're doing wudu, your ablution, washing, and Allah Ta'ala says that when you do wudu, ablution, clean yourself, then the small sins are removed. You go towards salah, you pray, the small sins are removed. You recite Quran, Allah Ta'ala removes the sins, the small sins, the smaller scale sins. If you do good deeds, virtuous deeds, Allah Ta'ala forgives the saghira, small sins. Allah Ta'ala has made this sort of, you can say, automatic system, machinery, that you do good deeds, your sins are removed. You pray in the morning, the sins from the night to the morning, eliminated. If you pray dhuhr salah, afternoon, from morning till afternoon, sins removed. If you do talawat, sadaqah, tasbih, etc., then the small sins are removed with Allah Ta'ala's fadl. So Allah's fadl is this, that Allah gives us opportunity, an opportunity to do good deeds, then the small sins are removed, ongoing in parallel. But if we don't do good deeds, then the saghira sins also mount up and stack up. So we should have good deeds in the day, and when we do a good deed, we should try to do that properly, correct our salah, do our salah on time, the fast when we have to, hajj, and zakat, charity, and sadaqat, we have to pay attention to these things. So alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, then the small sins get forgiven. Now, the kabira sins, the big sins, they are severe. And now how will these get forgiven? How will we ask for forgiveness from these? Now the kabira sin, the big sin, kabir, large scale, these aren't just forgiven without any sort of condition, no. You have to do tawbah. We have to repent. And if I don't repent, then my kabira sins will be attached to me ongoing. And it won't be cleaned here. And if I pass away in that state, then the fire of hell will wash away that kabira sin. So the better method is, if I am a person of wisdom and intellect and understanding, then I should consider this fact, that if I have kabira sins attached to me, I need to do tawbah, I need to repent. When I do tawbah, with the intention that, Allah, I committed these sin or these sins, I made a mistake, Allah, and I do tawbah, I repent, Allah, Allah forgive me, and I present myself, then Allah Ta'ala will also forgive the kabira sins, the big sins, the massive sins. Now, kabira sin, when it's forgiven along with tawbah, tawbah, what is tawbah? Repentance, astaghfirullah, 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 3 tasbih, 300 tasbih, 1,000 tasbih, 1,000 recitation. This is not tawbah, this is repetition. You get thawab, reward, but this is not tawbah. This is not repentance. Tawbah, even if it's once, you don't have to say 1,000 times astaghfirullah, 10 times astaghfirullah, not in front of anyone, you have to say astaghfirullah. The best way of tawbah, as is stated in the Quran, put your hand in the hand of the wali of Allah and do tawbah. That's the whole verse of the Quran. That is the best method. Allah has given a reward for that. There are virtues for that and rewards for that. There's nothing that can compare. That is the recommended tariqah method, that if you do tawbah like this, find a teacher, a sheikh, and you read Surah Mumtahina in the Quran. This is explained. Ya ayyuhal nabi, Allah Ta'ala explains to the Rasulullah that when the believing women come to you, and this is also applicable to the men, and how to accept the pledge of allegiance and do dua for them. Allah Ta'ala said, oh my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that the believing women come to you, pledge allegiance to them, let them pledge allegiance to you, and listen to their sins they've done, and do dua to me, Allah, and I will forgive their sins. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you go to a sheikh, a wali of Allah, and these people are the deputies of the Nabi on the earth, and this is somebody who Allah Ta'ala sent to the earth, and you go and you understand and accept him as the guide, and you do tawbah, you pledge allegiance to the sheikh, may Allah Ta'ala give me and you this tawbah, tawfiq in life. This is very important, to be lazy in this, negligent in this. We ourselves are going into loss and into the trench. And we are then becoming, you can say, into the hands of shaitan. Takabbur, pride, nafs, desires have stopped me that I'm not doing this tawbah. Why do I need a teacher? Why do I need to do bayah? Why do I need to pledge allegiance? The Quranic verse tells us to do this. And then there are great, great consequences, good consequences of doing tawbah in this way. So tawbah, as I've said, the Quran tells us tawbah, when a person repents, he promises. He's promising his Rabb that, Allah, I have done this sin, and I want to do tawbah to you for my sins. Allah, I promise to you, I done this sin A, I did this sin B, I made a mistake, I did the wrong thing, however I did this, Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me, I will not commit this deed again. I will not commit this deed again, Allah, I promise this. And this is called promise and bayah, pledging allegiance, that Allah, I committed this sin, I made a mistake, I continue to do this, but I won't do this again, please forgive me. What do we call this? Tawbah. Tawbah. So when a person does tawbah like this, alhamdulillah, saghira, even if his sins are as big as the mountain, they fly away like the wind, and they are removed from his body. This is the tawbah we should do. And if we do that sin again, that we did tawbah for, then what happens? We've broken the promise. The tawbah breaks. The repentance breaks. Then what do we need to do? We need to wash ourselves again, cry again, run to Allah again, and say, Allah, I broke my tawbah, don't do tawbah again. Repent again, and then tawbah will come into existence again. So if he keeps on breaking his tawbah, the tawbah will continue to break. What should happen is that Allah Ta'ala, if he's forgiven you once, then be grateful for this. Be grateful that all the life long you don't go again towards that sin. That I don't want to do this action, I promise to Allah. This is not a game, is it? You think this is a game? Allah Ta'ala will give a severe sin, a severe punishment. This is a joke. You go to a sheikh, teacher, and do bayah, you pledge allegiance, I won't commit the sins. You keep on breaking the regulations and the promises, and you break the boundaries of sharia, and you just change your face a bit, and your form a bit, attire a bit, and you sit in dhikr a little bit. But your tawbah is not in existence. It's not continuation. You're sitting in dhikr, you're doing all the actions. Okay, you're praying salah. But the sins that you repented from, you promised to Allah, they are still existent. And you're still breaking those sins. You're still committing those sins and breaking the promise. So this is deception. A person is living in darkness that he's done tawbah and he's doing dhikr and tasbih and he thinks, oh, it's okay, I'm getting thawab. But no, the punishment will be there for the sins. That sin that you promised you will leave and you're still practicing it, Allah says the punishment will come. This is called bayah. And there's double sin. One is you promised, you opposed your sin, your promise, and you continue to sin. And a person should be steadfast after doing tawbah. That Allah, I promise to you, Allah, I've come back to the sin. But if you are steadfast and regular, and you stay away from the sin, then look at the rewards you'll get. Jannah, paradise. Despite the fact that you practice the sins, that even the earth could not absorb the sin you did. Not even the heavens. Such sins are committed by people from their hands, from their tongues. But shaitan, he makes that sin to us look so minuscule and small. But Allah is Kareem. Allah prevents the method for us to save ourselves from the sin. Allah pushes us towards good due to conditions, circumstances, situation or illness. Allah Ta'ala drags us towards His wali, His guide. And then when we get there, then Allah Ta'ala makes us repent and we do the good deeds which save us from the fire of Jahannam. We'll realize this in the hereafter. So what we should do, what we should do is we shouldn't consider that, oh, someone's going to run after me. No, why do you do this? Why do you do this action? Why have you done this action? No. Who am I deceiving? I should think that I promise that I will not commit a deed against the regulations that Allah Ta'ala has set forth. According to the regulations of the deen, Islam, but in the home we're sinning, and I keep on walking around on the streets and thinking I'm pious. No, no, astaghfirullah rabbi. This is deception. Okay? So now, I'm coming towards the subject matter that I just went off the line a little bit just to give the basis of what we're discussing. So what was I saying? First was the saghira, the small sins, so-called. And they are extinguished through good deeds. And then we have kabira sins, the major sins. They are extinguished through tawbah, repentance. And what's tawbah? To look at the previous sins, regret, and to make a promise to our Rabb that I won't continue to repeat these sins. Then Allah says, wipe away these sins from everywhere. He is now like a newborn baby and make him my friend. And this is the reward. Now, the kabira sin, there's another situation alongside kabira sins. And what is that? What is that? That a person, if he looks at sins, small sins are forgiven through deeds, and big sins, major sins are forgiven through tawbah. But the sin of haququl ibad, which has been done against an individual, a human being, you understand? If you commit a sin against a human being, you have broken somebody's rights. You have reduced somebody's rights, you have oppressed somebody, you have done fraud with someone, you've eaten somebody's money, you've given pain to someone, you've sworn at someone, you've backbited against someone, you have slandered someone. This is huququl ibad. Slander at home, you haven't fulfilled the rights of the mother, the father, the wife, the children. What is this? What are you breaking? Huququl ibad. So what will happen now? That this is a major sin. Plus, all night, all day, you can do tawbah for this. You can repent for this. Ask for forgiveness for this from Allah. Allah will say, I cannot forgive you. I cannot forgive you. That this becomes such a big sin of haququl ibad. And how will this be forgiven? Listen carefully. Three stages, aren't there? So this sin, kabira, which is haququl ibad, how will this be forgiven? Number one, it will be forgiven in such a way that first we have to ask Allah for forgiveness. That's apparent. Who? We have to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And then that individual against whom we committed the sin, whose rights we took, usurped, we oppressed him, or did bad to him, or said bad to him or her, we have to ask them for forgiveness. We definitely have to go and ask them for forgiveness. Until that time, the sin will remain. Doesn't matter what we are. But we have to go and ask them, please forgive me, I made this mistake. When we implement this action, then that sin, that kabira sin, will be eliminated. Otherwise, if we don't approach the individual who we oppressed against or did bad against, then we will get the punishment for that sin. So these are the three things here that we have to consider. So the most dangerous situation for us is what? That the sins against society, environment, we have to be cautious, careful. So why should we not save ourselves from this sin? We keep on speaking carelessly, speaking about him or her, she's like this, he's like this. Why do we need to speak about people in an ill manner? Negative, tell me. Why? Why? What is paining you? Why are you speaking about this? Doesn't matter what somebody does, how they do it, what they do. What pain is that given to your stomach? Do dua for them. Then why are you counting the deficiencies, speaking bad about them? Such a big sin shaitan is making us do. And as long as we don't ask for forgiveness from that person, the sin, our sin will not be removed. And those sins will stay with us. Remember this. Allah's displeasure, Allah's ghadab, and on top of that, the punishment for the sin. So don't even imagine, don't even think or consider that you'll get barakat through the sin or Allah's rahmah in the world. Your dunya, our dunya, my dunya will be spoiled, hereafter spoiled. Problems, difficulties, issues, problems, worries. Even though I've got wealth and cars and a house and homes and assets and money, but I have nothing in spite of having all of these material things. I'll have nothing. So this is the point. So what's the reason? We say, what's the reason here? Why is this happening to me? Why have I got problems? I need ta'weez. And people in the dunya, they complain. Someone's going to an amil, a black magician, and jinnat, and this, and idols. No, no, no. Straightforward. If there are issues, then this is due to Allah Ta'ala's displeasure and ghadab, due to my sins. Allah makes the children disobedient. The wife will go against me. There'll be arguments. There'll be fasad. And somebody will fight with the children. The children will fight with the parents. Allah is qadir al-mutlik. Are we going to fight with Allah? No, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm displeased with you. I am unhappy with you. So straight away, if Allah is unhappy with us, we should try to win back Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. There's a way, a method. But if we are stubborn, arrogant, and we say we are just so much, we're the best, no deed will help me, my friends, no deed. So haqooqul ibad, which if I have oppressed someone, I've sworn at someone, I should say, brother or sister, I swore against you, I did something bad against you, I said something bad against you, forgive me please. Allah Ta'ala says that, how did you do this action negatively against someone else? Who are you to criticize? Who are you to slander someone, backbite, swear, speak bad about them? What was it? What was it that caused you to do this? That you look for other people's defects, deficiencies, their problems, you think bad for others, you want bad for others, and you pick on someone, or you try to overwhelm someone. We don't think these are sins. We come, and for example, somebody complained to me that a lot of the brothers who come to do dhikr, that me and you, we come to do dhikr and we give difficulty to other people. We park our cars in such places that we block the other person in. And they scream that this person is a dhakir. He comes to the majlis and he parks behind us and he blocked us in to the masjid. That's so sad. I felt so bad. Now this is astaghfirullah. The person who does dhikr and he doesn't consider the ease of other people. We hear these things, we speak about these things, and you park your car behind someone else who wants to leave and you block him. La hawla wal quwwata. Isn't this better than this? That a few hundred yards further, you park your cars and you walk to the majlis. So when I heard this complaint after dhikr, and the people's names were told to me, then I couldn't dare that I speak to them. I just did dua to Allah that Allah give hidayat, guidance to these people. Yani they don't have akal until now. They don't have the brains after doing so much dhikr and having the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah. They don't have the understanding. This is a public place. The street is a public place, or the car park. And here, if you give difficulty to the makhluk, the creation of Allah, you're not here in your home. This is Allah's home. We've come here to do dhikr, to create love between Allah and the creation. And we put our car behind someone else. And we know whose car it is, the announcement. I didn't announce for this reason. That this time, I was immersed. He said, I didn't come and give you the announcement. You were speaking to people, and it would have disturbed you. And shaitan wanted this to happen. Shaitan wants that the tabligh is happening, da'wah, and somebody comes and speaks on the mic that this registration plate, please move it and move it. So the brother said that I couldn't do that. I didn't want to say that. And shaitan would have won over. So with those people who are immersed in the discussion and the words will come into their hearts, they would have been disturbed. So how much a sin for that person who parked his car incorrectly? Do istighfar, ask for forgiveness. And next time, if you, from my jama'ah, from within the students, you'll get the punishment. You'll get the punishment. We don't have aql and understanding to park the car correctly. It's not just the car. Why should we pain somebody? Why should we pain somebody? How sad. How bad. Yes. So, oh, I don't want to miss dhikr. Oh, and then you park behind somebody's boot. You don't care about that person. He's got to leave. He's got to go. This should not occur. This is not correct. This is the majlis, the gathering of tazkiyah, purification. What benefit is the dhikr given if I keep on doing these things? So as I was saying, that sin. And who will forgive these sins that we commit against society? How much pain reached the heart of that brother? His car was blocked in. He couldn't leave the car park. He had to go home. Maybe the tears came to his eyes. My eyes, our eyes should come the tears. So this is the sin. The sin against the haqooqul ibad. The sin of breaking the rights of society. And to save ourselves and to get forgiveness of this is very difficult. It's Jannah, paradise isn't earned. Just pray salah, do umrah, hajj, and we'll get paradise. No, there'll be severe accounting. Based on akhlaq, conduct, based on insaniyat, humanity. This is tasawwuf, this is Sufism. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us this, yuzakkihim. And this was the ilm, the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he gave. He gave the Quran and his hikmah, his sunnah, and wa yuzakkihim. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq so we can learn this, understand this. And he purified the hearts of the believers. Hazrat Safwan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates a hadith in Abu Dawood. This narration comes. He stated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that any individual, if he with another person is speaking to another person, he's speaking to another person, having a discussion, and the other person, he considers him as honest. Listen here carefully to what I'm saying. I'm talking about society, me, you, all of us. To become walis, we need to understand this. That if one individual is speaking to the other individual, and the other person considers the first person who's speaking as honest, or whatever he's saying as honest, as correct and upright, then if he considers him as honest, or as truth what he's saying, whereas that person is lying. Do you understand what I'm saying? For example, this is hadith. Shall I explain again? What does this mean? So, if brother A or person A speaks to person B, during which person B considers that what person A is saying is honest and truth, but in reality what person A is saying is a lie. And this is our daily scenario in the ummah. Let me explain this now a bit quickly so we can start dhikr as well. That this is the hadith I wanted to narrate to you. This point today. This disease, this illness, what is this called? This is called breaching the trust. Breaking the trust. This point I've just told you about breaking the trust, this is a unique form of breaching the trust. There are different types of breaking the trust. We think that breaking trust is someone I've given money to secure my money, to safeguard my money, my wealth, and he usurps that wealth, or he spends my money, or he doesn't want to give it back to me, etc. There's a severe azab, punishment for that person, because he's a khain. That person has broken the trust. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. There are four signs of the hypocrite, of the munafiq. And that person is a munafiq, a hypocrite. Where will he go? Where's our sujood and prostration? How common is this point? That if a person has to give money, let's say I person A gives person B money, and person B takes the money away, spends it, he promised I'll give it back to you, I'll protect it, I'll safeguard it, I'll look after it for you, and he doesn't give the money back. He's got bad intentions, he's using it for himself, he's making his house. When the decision is made that he has to give it back to that person, he promised to him, he's not giving it back, then it's stated, he is a munafiq, a hypocrite. Bukhari and Muslim is this hadith. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated this, mashallah. And bigger breaking the trust than this, and what will be that I've told you? That the bigger breaking of the trust than this, what? That you are speaking to a brother, person B, and person B thinks what person A is saying is truth, and he considers that truth, and you're lying. And you're lying. Shall I give you an example of this? So you understand easily what I'm saying. What is that? That there's a person, he comes, and they're speaking about somebody, and he's a trustworthy person, and he's speaking, he asks about somebody, that, what is that brother like? That because he wants to maybe create a relationship with him, like in society. Maybe he wants to do transaction with him or travel with him, whatever. Do you know that person? What's he like? Can you give me a reference? He says, that man? Oh, he's a dirty individual. He's a liar. He breaks the promises. Oh, save yourself from him. Don't go to him. Oh, don't go to him. He's bad. No. So person A, who asked person B for his opinion reference, and person A is saying that, can you tell me? And he trusts person B. This is the hadith that person B, when he replies and slanders the person whose reference he's giving, person A thinks that person B is saying the truth, but in reality person B is lying, and this is breaking the trust. I'll give you another example now. There's a businessman, and he's got money, wealthy, and let me make it a bit more clearer. So there's a businessman, person A, and you know that businessman. I know him, I'm a shopkeeper, and I say to you, that do you know that businessman? Yeah, I know him. I say that he's asking me for a loan. He's saying, give me some money on credit, or give me some loan or stock or items on credit. So what opinion do you give to me? So I'm asking your opinion. Today many people consult with us. What opinion do you have of him? What's he like? Shall I give him a loan? Will he pay me back, or shall I not give to him? Now, you know that person is okay. So a person is asking someone else because it's good to consult with people. And he says, oh, he's a very nice person, mashallah. He's so good. He's a very reliable, trustworthy. So he elevates him, praise him. And he then gives the loan to that person thinking he's good. But he's lying. He's lying. He doesn't know that person. He wasn't in a position to give his reference. He said, oh, he's very good, just to satisfy person A who's asking for the opinion. Whereas he knew maybe that he wasn't good. At that time, if he told him his defects, that he's a liar. He's a fraudster. Don't give him money. The Sharia explains there that this is not backbiting. If someone's asking you opinion or reference for someone, then you have to expose his deficiencies. If someone's come to ask you about somebody, then tell him the truth, honestly, that person's wrong. Don't give him the loan. Don't give the money, you will go into lust. Rather, by giving the wrong response, you should give the truth. And this is called extreme breaking of the trust. And I'll give you another example on top of this, because this is very common today. To seek a partner in Islam, as a bride, as the marriage partner. You know, when a person is looking for a husband or a wife, or the parents are looking to ask the sister's family or the brother's family, when you go to ask people who know about the sister or brother, the people who give the reference, oh, they say the wrong statements. The person who knows the family, he knows that, oh, the daughter, the son or the daughter, she's sitting at home for a long time, they're not married, they've got defects, he hides them, she hides them. Oh, they're good people. Oh, what guarantee do you give? I know them for years, they're so good. And when they get married, then the truth and the honesty comes out that they weren't good people. When a person gives the wrong reference, the wrong opinion, and misrepresents the facts that are there, Sharia defines those people as the extreme breakers of trust. What should we do when we consult, ask for an opinion, reference? Speak the truth, upright, straight talk. Don't bend the truth. Don't think that, oh, your status is lowering. Doesn't matter what happens. But you're saving yourself from the biggest of sin. And this is a common sin in society today. Brothers, my friends, may Allah Ta'ala save us all from this. Give good opinions. Give good consultation. Give good references. If you know something's wrong, explain it. And not that he's my relative, he's not getting married. This daughter, this brother, sister, they're not getting married. It's hard for them. Or they're going to lose out monetarily, business-wise. Or this was, no. Don't hide the truth. Don't hide the facts. Don't brush under the carpet. Sharia gives a strong, strong prevention that speak the upright talk. If you want to speak, speak the right, the correct words. But what I understand, what I've learnt, is this is not right if we cover the truth. Alhamdulillah, a person who gives the right opinion, he will be elevated in the eyes of Allah. And you'll get so much thawab that the amount of adhab and punishment the khain gets, the breaker of trust gets, he will get in turn the amount of reward. And what is the reason for this? That, why is this called breaking the trust? That will give loss and wrath and ghadab of Allah. Because this seeds the mistrust and destruction in society, fighting, quarreling, disputes. For example, you've loaned someone some money. Someone told you, give him the loan, and he commits the fraud against me, then we'll have a fight and a quarrel and disputes and problems will occur and games will be played and fights will occur. And that person will struggle. Now he told me about that person, and a whole vicious cycle will be created due to the wrong opinion. Or for example, someone asks you opinion about somebody to marry, and you give the wrong opinion, then there'll be fighting in the family, is fitna, fasad, and people go to divorce, and there'll be fights and quarrels. Why? Because that person in the beginning gave the wrong opinion, or the wrong reference, or the wrong statement. You know that someone's got defects, then tell them. If they're asking to protect them, may Allah Ta'ala give me and you the ability to understand these points, my brothers. These points that we discussed, this is not a lecture, a speech. Rather, this is us sitting here. I am doing my islah, my rectification. I'm not identifying your defects, because the elders of pious people used to say that if you want to take out your defects, then sit in front of the people and speak about your sins, and you'll feel ashamed of your sins. MashaAllah, you are pious, you are good, my elders, and I ask for forgiveness. You are pious people, and I am hopeful to Allah Ta'ala that these defects won't be within us and you pious elders. But we discuss these points for this reason, and we revise the lessons of Islam. We don't know about shaitan and our desires. We need to save ourselves from the sins. Even 5 times I pray, don't go towards nafl and sadaqat and charity, don't go towards these things. We need to pay more attention to the sins. Alhamdulillah, we will earn the biggest abode in paradise. Don't displease Allah. Keep Allah pleased, happy. So the environment sins, society sins, haqqul ibad, we have to be very cautious. Promise today solid that until after today, I won't even give someone pain or block their parking space or give them a simple issue in life. This is very bad, very bad. To torture somebody mentally, if this happens to me, then it gives extreme difficulty. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Physically, you only have to wait 5 minutes, but you're giving pain and difficulty to someone. He's walking around, who's parked his car here? And you become impatient, and you have a need. You need to get somewhere. So the person, all his difficulties, Allah Ta'ala says that I will forgive his sins who was in difficulty, and all his difficulties and sins will be transferred to the person who oppressed him. So, promise today you are dhakirin, and the meaning of dhikr is that we become good human beings, that due to us, we don't give pain to someone, rather we give benefit to others. We benefit others, not pain, and this is the objective and meaning of dhikr. We do so much dhikr, tasbih, recitation, and then we do stupid actions, and we come in the masjid, in the majlis. We shouldn't do these actions in society. We have to announce people, move your car. So try your best. Promise, make your intentions a list that I won't give hurt, pain to people's hospitals, car parks, public places. Even if you have to park further away and get wet in the rain, doesn't matter, but don't give pain to the human beings. May Allah give us all, me and you, the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Durood Shareef.